Hey, what's up? This is your girl, Taylor Wilde. Welcome back to Wild On Season 6, the brand new season you have all been waiting for. It is still the great Wild On, where you get the insider's view of the weird wild world of wrestling and witchcraft on Wednesdays. Okay, you've all been waiting long enough. You know that there is a new element to the Wild On Season 6 premiere. That's right. My BFF, the Veronica to my Betty, my homegirl from Etobicoke, my brand new co-host, Silesia Sparks. We're going to do things a little bit different, so you're just going to get a little taste.
Because my arms look huge. I you was retired.
Retired.
I wasn't. still am.
I'm going to be bringing the biggest names in professional wrestling today, but my phone is ringing, fucker!
And she drank out of the Tim Hortons cup. Is that going to be a problem? Silesia Sparks. What's up, bitch? This is a very good reason to subscribe to the show. That's right, hit that subscribe button so you get a little bit of the wild weirdness that is gonna come to you every Wednesday with both myself and my brand new co-host, Silesia Sparks. So stay tuned and catch a little bit of the wackiness, because on Wild On, we just love alliteration. Today's guest, I'm so excited to start this season off with her. She is everything elder millennial. She loves the Spice Girls. She loves Power Rangers. She was born in the 80s. And of course, she loves professional wrestling. Her story actually runs very many parallels with my own. But I don't want to give away too much. You got to tune in today's episode. So ladies and gentlemen, meet my girl, Kayla Sparks. What do you do in the morning? How do you start your days?
I just wake up and I'm like, I just try to always like think of something that I'm grateful for to get me like in a positive mood. And then I just kind of like brush my hair, brush my teeth, get ready for the day. And then just, yeah, I know it's some days you wake up, you're like, oh, I gotta like work today or whatever. Or, like, I get it. And then there's like stuff that just like goes wrong during the day or like right in the morning. But I always, I get it.
I think that's a beautiful way to start your day, because it's so easy to get lost in everything that's negative, right? No.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's so much stuff going on in the world. It's hard, you know, not to like be consumed with all the stuff that's like, you know, on social media or on the news or in the world, you know, so I get it.
So when you wake up and you think of something you're grateful for, is that just something you like do mentally? Do you write it down in a journal? What do you do?
Yeah, I just think it like mentally. Like I wake up and I'm just like, I look out my window and I'm just like, you know, today's going to be a good day. Because if you start it like on the positive note, hopefully things go, you know, things don't go always go as planned. But I think it's all like mindset. Like if you put yourself like in that mindset, like today's gonna be a good day no matter what comes my way.
100%.
Yeah, it's hard to do, for sure.
It is hard to do, but the older I get, the more I'm like, you know, those sayings that all your elders told you, like mind over matter and all that.
Yeah, I know.
they were fucking right. This is my life. I'm an Aquarius. I learn everything the fucking hard way. Don't feel bad. This is it. This is life.
And I was going to say, I'm a Cancer, so the emotional ups and downs.
I was going to say, are you crying right now? Cancer. Oh, do you follow your astrology?
I do, yeah, a little bit. So I know, like, Cancer, like, the sign, like you're kind of like the crab. You kind of like want to be home. You're a homebody, which I can be at times, but then some other times you like want to be social and like, you know, that kind of thing. So we're like the best of both, I guess.
Yeah. And very, very emotional. Do you feel like you feel everything wholly?
Yes. Yep. You feel everything, good and bad.
And I just have to say, even before we chatted today, like when I look through your social media, when I've read everything about what you've done with your career so far, you are like a little beam of light.
Aw, thank you.
Where does this positivity come from?
Oh, it's like we were just talking about, like, it's just, you know, it's the people that I feel like, well, you know, you've been through so much crap in your life. And like, it's just, you know, you get to the point where you're just like, all right, how can I make my life better? How can I make, you know, my life better, not only mine, but like other people's life better? If I could just, like, you know, I don't know, just be there for my friends or family, or be there for a stranger, and just like, you know, because there's so much, like we said, there's so much stuff going on in the world today that it's just like, it's nice. It's good to be kind to everybody, you know?
It's so much. Oh my God. You can't say that enough. It's so much easier to just be kind.
Yeah.
It takes so much less energy. And I think that gets lost on people because everyone's so, well, not everyone. There's a demographic of people that just get real tunnel vision. Like, my life is shit. Everything's going wrong. And you take it out on everyone around you.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's what I've always, like, I was brought up, like, you know, just always be kind to everybody. And it works, you know.
So you're from Florida.
I was born in Florida, Port Richey, Florida, but then my family moved up to upstate New York when I was three. So Schenectady, New York is where I'm from.
So that you identify as a New Yorker.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
New Yorker for sure.
So you were born in the South and then were bred in the North. Now, is that like a cultural turmoil for yourself? Like, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I guess it's funny because you mentioned that, because like I have family that lives in Florida. So like I was lucky, like as a kid growing up, I was able to go, you know, to Universal Studios and Disney and all those things, and Nickelodeon Studios when it was there. Are we like around the same age? Are we both millennials? I feel like
we are elders, but we are still millennials.
So you get it. So like that era of the 90s and all that stuff. It was
a good
time, the 90s.
The 90s were great, and we weren't that special. Kids didn't become that special till like the mid to late 90s, so we had a lot of like the latchkey kids experience, the come home when the lights turn, like the street lights turn on.
We still got to be able to play outside and be like, have normal like childhood without social media yet. So we were like just the dawn of the millennium, you know, and everything that was to come. And
we were that exact cusp, that new life pre-internet, and then the explosion.
Yes, I know. I know it's all like coming back now, like Y2K and the 90s stuff, which is great, but like, yeah, it was an awesome time to like live through that, you know.
And is that a Power Rangers t-shirt? What's going on?
Yeah, I was gonna say, so this is my new my gimmick is the Spice Rangers. So you know, Power Rangers and Spice Girls. So that's like my thing is, like we were just talking about the 90s and stuff. Like that's what I grew up on, and that's what brings me the most joy. So like, you know, what better way to, you know, bring that to the wrestling world than just like have that. I just love like all the, you know, like the 90s, like girl power, the Spice Girls and Power Rangers, you know, it was all like, that was like the best time in my life, like as a kid, like as you know. So like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think my brain can comprehend the joy of merging the Spice Girls and the Power Rangers.
Right? I know. And it's cool. It's like, I get a lot of like positive feedback from it. Like, you know, people in our age and stuff that just love it. So.
What inspired you to get into professional wrestling?
So I was 3 years old. I know that's super young to like if you remember anything, but like I remember, you know, my dad sat me down in the chair, and I remember my first memories of wrestling was Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior in the 80s and 90s. And that was like, I just remember being drawn to it as a young kid. And then growing up, I ended up, you know, I still watch WWE, and I got really big into WCW. So yeah. Like, you know, Sting was my favorite. Yes. Sting, the Crow Sting, when he was still the Crow Sting, and then the NWO Wolfpack and all those guys. And I loved like WCW with, they had all the Lucha, you know, like Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, and all those guys.
Yes.
Yeah. And then of course, you know, the Attitude Era. So like for me, it was always like, you know, Undertaker was my favorite.
Okay.
You know, China was a huge inspiration for me to actually like think that I could like get in the ring and like perform and like chase my dream and do that. So yeah, China was my hero growing up.
No way.
Yeah.
I love that. And I find it interesting because I feel like a lot of female professional wrestlers are inspired by not necessarily the underdogs, but maybe like
Yeah.
more of the cruiserweights, the Rey Mysterios, or
Yeah.
like you, even like Chris Benoit, Eddie
Yeah.
Guerrero. Like
Yeah.
they were men of technically like smaller stature, but you're
Yeah.
straight in with the Sting, well over 6'4",
Yeah.
the Undertaker, well over
Yeah.
six four. And China, obviously a petite woman.
That's like my Mount Rushmore and the Hardy Boys. Matt Hardy, that'll be like my Mount Rushmore, the four.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Okay, so speaking of Matt Hardy, we love the Hardy Boys, but let's talk about Rebby Hardy. Have you followed her social media
A
persona?
little bit, yeah. I see she's very active on social media and stuff, which is great.
Do you know about Goth Baby?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I follow that. It's hilarious, right? I love that.
I just thought, you know, she when she was she had her time in WWE, she
Yeah,
seemed like very cookie cutter,
yeah.
like very like Playboy Mansion-esque,
Yeah.
very like vanilla, and she was like she identified very much as like Latina and like this spicy, sexy woman. And lo and behold, she's this closet creative who has exploded, made her infant a goth baby nursery, and basically created anarchy amongst, you know, women who are like, no, a baby has to have color, a baby has to have only fun, CoComelon. And she's like created a movement.
Yeah, she did. No, I love that. I thought it's so cool. It's different, and yeah, the goth baby thing is so over.
So over. And I would say that Rebby, he is probably more famous via TikTok and social media now than she ever was in her
WWE
WWE
career.
career.
Yep. Yeah, it's great. I mean, like you mentioned, like social media. I wish it was around, when I started wrestling, because that was like. I wish like that so many more opportunities come from social media now. That's how you get your face out there, so it
Oh
helps a
yeah.
lot.
It helps tremendously. And I can't
Yes.
cite him enough, and I need to have him on the show this season, is Danhausen.
Oh
Love
yeah.
him, love him, love him, love him. Can't wrestle his way out of a wet paper bag. I mean that full shade. He is not a good wrestler, but as far as as far as marketing goes,
Yeah.
he's brilliant. I bought a Danhausen t-shirt because it was based off of a Bauhaus album long before I'd even seen him wrestle, and I was just like, he's so smart. And now he's an AEW superstar, and that's thanks to social
Yeah,
media.
they're good for him, right? I know. It's
Yeah.
just like there's like different things, like your characters, like how you connect with the people and the fans and stuff, that you never know what sticks. You just kind of like throw it to the wall and then see what works,
It's so
A
true.
lot of it is, I think it's like if you show you're genuine, like that people can connect with that, like that you're
Yep.
relatable and like stuff like that, because so that helps a lot too with that kind of stuff.
Completely. So, where do you draw inspiration from? Because obviously, you've been in wrestling for
Yeah.
quite a few years now,
Yeah.
and you're forever molding and shape-shifting, and you're throwing things at the wall until they seem aligned and authentic to who you are.
Yeah.
Where do you draw your inspiration from?
So again, once again with the 90s and stuff growing up. So like the Spice Girls for sure, like with the girl power and stuff like that for me growing up, I
Are
guess.
you a sporty Spice Girl? Who's your Spice?
Oh my God, of course, Sporty Spice.
Sporty's obvious, obviously.
What about you?
Okay, so I always identified as a Ginger Spice type of girl, and she was crazy.
Yeah, they all were like amazing, but yeah, Sporty Spice, I obviously like identified with her close, because with wrestling and like just I just always thought she was amazing, Melanie C, and I've been a huge fan of her. Like I followed all her solo career, like
You
everyone's solo
have.
career from Spice Girls, but yeah. So I
Yes!
got the Spice World, I don't know if you could see it, Spice World tattoo.
You have a Spice World tattoo?
Yes, I do, in the girl power, that, and then I Turn to You is like Melanie C's first solo song. That was so yeah, I'm obsessed a little bit.
You have three Spice Girl tattoos. I just want to say that on the record.
Yes. Yes, it's awesome. And then my Power Ranger Pride tattoo that I have here too as well. So
Oh By God. So you, it's not inspiration. You're living your gimmick.
Yes. Yes, of course. Yeah. It's like, it's genuinely me, like in real life, like that's who I am. So like, but yeah, bucket list was, I finally got to meet Melanie C. 40 Spice when she was doing an autobiography signing for in New York City, like recently. So that was awesome.
Okay. So we have levels of like fangirl. When you met Melanie C, where were you on the scale? Like 100 being like, you don't know who you are. You don't know your name anymore. Like, yeah, were we there? Or did you go up to her?
Pretty much there. Yeah. It was like, well, you only have like so much time to like talk to them. So it's like, you have like 5 seconds to like get 3 years of like what you want to like tell somebody that you like, you know, evangelized and stuff. So like, but she was so sweet. She was so nice and stuff. So yeah, we took a picture and she's like, I had to get all in my sporty outfit with the Adidas and Sporty Spice t-shirt. And she's like, oh my God, I love that. So that was cool. It was an awesome experience. So
that's so beautiful.
When they had their Return of the Spice Girls tour, that was in 2007.
Yes.
Did you ever get to go to that? Or
I didn't go to it. I can't remember why, but all my childhood girlfriends did the reunion tour. I think I just had my baby. And you know how those reunions go. They'll be back.
Yes.
But did you go?
I did go. I went, of course, I went, you know, I went 3 times. Like, I had to go more than once. Because you never know. I was like, you never know if they could not do this again. So it's like, you gotta.
I'm sorry, 3 times? Did you take a mortgage out?
No, I remember back then, I feel like tickets were expensive, but they're not like how they are today. It's like ridiculous how much tickets are, but it was worth it. All the overtime I had to work at.
And I just want to say, you are like a doppelganger of Mel C. Like that.
That's an honor. I appreciate that. But thank you.
That could be your full wrestling gimmick. You could just be Sporty Simmons. Like, we don't.
That means a lot. Thank you.
Have you ever thought of doing that? Or like, do you do Mel C on Halloween?
A little bit. Yeah. I think I want to start getting more gear and like get more like the Spice Girls like gear, like Sporty Spice. And then I actually thought about like getting a helmet kind of thing for like Power Ranger stuff. So it's in the works. So
honestly, like as an elder millennial like yourself and as a lifelong Spice Girls fan, like I would like Danhausen, I would lose my shit. If you came out as Mel C, even though you were Sporty Simmons, gold tooth, tracksuit, I'm screaming into my microphone. I'm so excited right now. I'm literally.
I love it.
And if you could lip sync, like just the Mel, just, oh my God.
Just do it.
Splicing.
You got me inspired to like just.
If you spliced just all the Mel C parts and you did that fucking kick. I would probably take my shirt off and run around the building. I'm going to be honest.
It's definitely, you get it. So it's definitely, what a time to be alive in the 90s, right?
And even the kids now who, you know, were born in the 2000s, you know, they are into everything that was 90s. So even though they don't get it, they fucking get it.
Right.
I don't know. I'm getting spiritual chills for you. I really hope that's something you do, because selfishly I want to see it.
Oh, I appreciate it. No, thank you. And you're killing it too in Impact. Congratations on the coven, the gimmick, I love it. The witchy vibes. And that's like in real life too. Like I see it like right? Like that's like you give out like positive vibes and stuff. Like I followed you on social media and stuff too, so that's awesome. Keep doing it.
Thank you. Well, it took years. That's the only reason I encourage you, because like the biggest mistake I ever made was trying to be what I was told I was supposed to be versus just being myself turned up to 11. And that's exactly what you're telling me. You're taking pieces of things you love. Just fucking go for it.
And do it. Yeah, exactly. That's You never know until you try.
Yeah, just be Sporty Sparks or Sporty Simmons or whatever you want to be. Just be it.
Exactly. Be where you want to be, right? Life's too short.
Okay, though, I want to fact check, because I was on your wiki. Did you appear on SmackDown and AEW on the same night?
Yes.
How?
Crazy, right?
That doesn't make any logical sense. Are you an actual Power Ranger?
I would like to be. Hey, never say never. I mean, there's still, I think it's still going on. So like if they ever had an audition, hey, I would love the opportunity. Internally, I feel like we're all like, when we grew up, like we're all Power Rangers, but.
Totally.
But I'm, thanks to social media, a bunch of the Power Rangers from the original series follow me on there. So.
You are actually the coolest person I've ever met. So all the original Power Rangers follow you on social media and you've met Mel C?
Yes. It's everything, like you talk about it all, like manifesting things, like if you know what I mean? Like
it's true though.
Yeah, it works.
The power of spoken word.
That's why every day I wake up and I pinch myself. Like, oh,
you get what you put into the world. Like you radiate all this positivity and the universe repays those. You're doing the universe's work.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, same to you too. And but yeah, so going back, I guess, to the WWE AEW question. So February 2022, I remember it was surreal. Because, you know, like with wrestling, you just like whatever opportunity comes up, you go to it, you know, on the road, you travel a lot.
Yeah.
So like finally, I remember February 25th, I think was the date when it aired. But before that, AEW was in Connecticut. And I remember being there, I was there for extra work. And Serena Deeb yes. was doing her professor 5-minute match or that kind of thing on Rampage. So I remember she came up to me and she's like, you're going to be my opponent tonight. And I'm like, no way. Like my mind was blown that I'm getting to wrestle Serena Deeb, you know, because I've always been a fan of her work. And so that was huge. And then I remember I also had in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, I also have WWE SmackDown coming up. That was my debut for SmackDown. I never had an opportunity yet for extra work for WWE yet. So okay. I remember having that match that was going to air on Friday because they pre-taped it. And then Friday was in Hershey, Pennsylvania for SmackDown. And I remember the producers came up to me and they were trying to figure out what was, you know, they were going to do for the show. And Los Lotharios had this kiss cam thing that they were doing at the time, which was fun. So they came up to me, they're like, hey, you want to be one of the girls that they come up to in the crowd? And I was like, oh my gosh, my mind was blown because I had, you know, before it even happened, I'm like,
yeah,
SmackDown, well, Rampage airs at after SmackDown, so SmackDown 8 from 8 o'clock, and then Rampage was on at 10. So that was just like, that was surreal being able to have that moment, because I remember my phone like was just blowing up and everyone was like just so excited, like, oh my gosh, like, do you believe, like, can you believe, like, what happened? It's like, it was an honor because, like, people were comparing it to, like, Rick Rude on the Monday, you know, the Monday Night Wars.
Yes.
And that kind of thing. So I was like, wow. I was like, what an honor, you know?
Good for you. Double heading.
Yeah. It was just, it's still a pinch of myself. Like, it's an honor, like, you know, but, like I know you get it, like, the hustling and just trying to, like, get your name out there and just whatever opportunity comes up, you just go for it, you know, you never know.
Yep. Do you have a preference for company?
So I don't have a preference, but I will say, like, growing up, because I grew up, you know, loving WWE and stuff, so it's been my dream to be in WWE.
Sure.
Of course, because they've been around forever. It's just like, you know, everyone's dream once they want to be a wrestler. And then but you know, if AEW were to offer an opportunity, I wouldn't say no, because they've been amazing too. Like, everybody at AEW has been so awesome in the locker room and just everyone's so welcoming, and they have a great product too. So, like, you know, I wouldn't say no, you know, to anything. But I'm just happy, like, I keep telling myself, like, every day, like, if this all were to end, I'm happy. Just like, I know it's not good to say, like, you're satisfied, but, like, there's always more to do. But, like, I'm really grateful for everything that's happened so far. And there's still more to do, but I'm just, you know, like, today I'm happy with everything that, you know, I've been able to accomplish, and there's still more to go. But
that's a really grounded perspective, because I think it's really easy to lose sight when you're, like, plugging towards a career and a goal. So for you to just enjoy every day, every moment, to me, that's the dream.
Yeah, because, like, everyone, like, wants to get, like, you know, people can get anxious about the future and, like, oh man, you know, there's, like, you know, you have your, like, your bucket list of things that you want to accomplish. But, like, I feel like, you know, you can get lost in that. And if you just kind of, like, stay present and just, you know, that gratitude of, like, I'm happy where I am right now. But, you know, if things open up, you know, you're happy with what's today, and then tomorrow, you know, I'm just happy with, you know, where I'm at right now, but totally. I'm excited for the future too.
That's amazing. So tell me about your training regime. What are you doing? Like, are you just like, do you...
Yeah, I am. So I'm, you know, I'm going to the gym and stuff and trying to like, get, you know, stay healthy and fit. And then also, you know, with training, you know, you always have to like get in the ring and like make sure that you're, you know, all the there's always something to learn. There's always something new to learn, even, or there's always something to get better at. So I always try to like, you know, focus on, you know, and watching, you know, tapes and wrestling matches, watch your matches back so that you can get, you know, see what the things that you did wrong, things that you can improve and get better. But yeah, I've been lucky enough. Like there's Mike Hollow. I'm not sure if you're familiar. He was one of the original students from Killer Kowalski's school then. He got to train with like Triple H and China and them. And so he's really good about like, I got to train with him a bit, and he's really good about like the basics and the old school, like the fundamentals, which is how I was originally trained when I started, because I started really young. I was 13 years old when I started.
Oh, wow.
back in 2002. So
that's crazy.
And going back to like we mentioned about China, like, so for me, like being the only, I was the only female student at the time in that school. It was called 24/7 Wrestling. It was a local school in Schenectady, New York, upstate. And they just had like they were doing like a promoting their school on TV. And I remember my mom saw it before I went to school, and she knew how much I loved wrestling. And she's like, "Hey, there's a school, you want to check it out?" And I'm like, "Yeah." I'm like, because she knew it was my dream. So my mom has always been so supportive of me, like, aww, chasing that dream, because obviously I was underage at the time. I couldn't drive. I couldn't do anything yet. Sure. So like once I started at school, it was a couple months later, I had my first match. And then, it was a really good, it was a good environment for me, because when you think, oh my gosh, like, you know, you were so young to be in that, you know, like banging your body around, like we're used, like it wasn't anything like negative. It was a very positive, like good environment to learn.
So you've been in wrestling since 2002. That's a long career. What is the biggest shift you've seen?
You know, it was just hard to like even get like on the card, having a women's match on the card was hard. It was tough back then. But now, you know, there's so many more opportunities for women, and it's all because of the hard work and, you know, the sacrifices that everyone, all the women had to go through back then to get where we are today. So girl power. I'm happy that there's still more things to do, but like we're, you know, we're main eventing stuff. We're like the main attraction now on wrestling shows, which is great. And so I'm happy that where it's at, but we've come a long way.
And who is your favorite female professional wrestler now?
I would say China, but now, I mean, there's so much talent now, so like it's hard to like pinpoint like exactly who, but I enjoy everyone's work and stuff. But I will say I'm a huge fan of Charlotte, and she's, you know, she's she's a workhorse, you know, and yep, like, you know, Becky Lynch, and like I can name drop everybody, but like, yeah, I enjoy everyone's work. Like everyone's like putting in the work now, and just it's nice to watch and see, you know, people's transgression from like where they started and like
totally
how green and how new they were, and to see how much, you know, time they, you know, they could tell they spend time in the ring and in the gym to get better. So it's very inspiring, this era of women's wrestling, because everybody, like all the women, want to see each other like do good, which is, it's a good feeling. So
And one thing I would say that you notice when we look at your social media, since we're speaking about all the wonderful things that female professional wrestlers are doing for the world, is yours is about your representation, your community, and being inclusive of everybody. Do you want to talk on that a little bit?
Yeah, so it's very close, you know, it's important for me and for everybody, like just like everybody is equal. And like if you know, it doesn't matter if you're gay, straight, you know, whatever, like I, you know, I identify as lesbian, I'm part of the LGBTQ+ community. I'm like talking about it, like, you know, because my coming out story wasn't the greatest. So like when I came out when I was in my early 20s, and it, you know, unfortunately it wasn't my choice when I came out, but that's another story. But you know, I went through a lot of depression from that, because growing up, you know, I was raised Catholic, and you know, you know, coming out as, you know, gay, lesbian, like, was like a no-no. So I went through a lot of depression because my parents didn't agree with it.
Wow.
I was in a relationship at the time. So yeah, that was really rough. And that was about like 10 years of that. And like, you know, so like, I really struggled with like, cause everybody wants their parents' acceptance and stuff like
Sure.
that. So, and I was always like going back with my mom was always there for me when I was a teenager with my wrestling career. You know, I would always go travel with her on road trips and stuff like that. So we, you know, we had like a really tight bond, me and my mom. So when I, you know, when I came out, my mom, like, I really struggled with my mom not being there for me. And like, you know, so, but I guess there's a light at the end of the tunnel, because eventually, you know, as time goes by, I don't know if like things got better, like my mom finally came around, but that was really hard for my mom to really see that. So my mom, you know, finally came around, which was important for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I always was close with my mom. So for me, that's why on social media, especially, like, it's important for me. Like, if I can help anyone that's like possibly like looking at, you know, my pictures, or like anyone that's like struggling with coming out, or feel like they're alone, or feel depressed because they feel like they don't fit in because they're gay, or whatever it may be, or just because they're different, you know, I always feel like my space is safe. Like, if you go on my social media, or if you see me in person, like, I've had so many, like, that's what makes it rewarding for me, is like, not just the wrestling stuff, but like, when fans come up to you at the shows and they say, you know, thank you, you inspired me to, like, you know, come out to my family, or be like, even if my family didn't agree with it, or like, I'm still happy to like be myself, or, you know, be proud that I'm gay, or, you know, whatever it may be. So yeah, it's important, I feel like, to always be true to who you are. I know that sounds so cliche, but like, just,
No,
it's, life's
it
too short
is.
To not be happy. That's what I've learned from personal experience. So, you know, and coming back, from a really like long hiatus, I took 14 years off from wrestling, and like, people always say, like, you know, what did, like, why'd you take so long, like, what, you know, and there's so many things that like can happen. Like, that's 14 years is a long time. So like, for me, a lot of it was the coming out and being depressed because my parents, you know, my family wasn't supportive, so I had to go through that. And I had to go, you know, everybody has to go through something in life to, like, you know, to get through whatever
Absolutely.
It may be, the hurdle. But it's always like, as cliche as it sounds, like, the comeback's always stronger than the setback. So,
oh, I love that. Say that again. Say that again.
The comeback is always stronger than the setback.
Thank you. Preach.
That's right. And it's true. I mean, like, so I never would have thought, you know, after 14 years, I would come back to wrestling. That's a lot of time off. And like, the fear set in, like, am I really, like, can I come back? Am I ready for this? And like, so, like, I remember, full circle, my trainer, Trip Stetson, from when I was a teenager, he still wrestles. He has a ring, and I was able to, he's still wrestling, and I was able to get back in the ring and get the, you know, the rust off. And he helped me a lot getting back to that, to where I am today. So
wow.
I owe him a lot.
Now, thank you for sharing your story, first and foremost. I appreciate
you
it.
Know, I appreciate you having, like, this opportunity. So yeah, thank you.
Yes, but let's, because, you know, the podcast is about helping, making sure that there are safe spaces, that this is for everybody. This is about inclusivity. This is a platform for others to tell their stories. Now, you know, you touched on some pretty major stuff. So you came out to your family in your late 20s. You're raised Catholic, so there was major religious turmoil. It created turmoil within your family. And you set out on a trajectory at 13 years old to become a professional wrestler. That was your life, and you had full support of your family. So you walked away from wrestling for 14 years. You spent 10 of those years away from your family because you came out to be the most true, authentic version of yourself. And I just, what was it in you? How did you pull yourself out of that depression and realign yourself with your family and realign with your love with wrestling? Because that's like all the big pieces.
I know, it's a lot. It's a lot to take on. Believe me, like, I was very overwhelmed, but I just, you know, there's something, like, I don't know, like, it was just like, I woke up one day and I'm just like, you know, I'm tired of being sad. I'm tired of, like, feeling like, you know, like I'm alone and stuff. So like, the more you know, it's good to reach out to friends and family, and don't ever feel like you're a burden, because that's also the other thing too, is like, you know, because I know everyone's going through something, but like if you don't speak up or like, you know, ask for, because like I'm really bad at like asking for help. I hate to ask
Same.
for help. I
It's
don't know
hard.
why. I just like I've like since a young age I was always independent. So like I don't know. I feel like that was just like a survival skill that I went through
It's
because like
called trauma.
trauma. Yep, that's what it is. Yep, it's the
I'm super independent, not because I'm traumatized. I don't like asking for help. It's not because I'm
Yep,
traumatized.
it is. It's
You're
sad. And then
preaching to the
also
choir.
people pleasing, I did a lot growing up because that was just, you know,
Trauma.
trauma, yep, from childhood. So, yep. So, you know, and like not to beat a dead horse, but like, you know, my
No.
relationship with my father wasn't always the best. So like he was just always like very angry and negative all the time. So like, you know, when I did come out, I know right away he wasn't gonna be supportive anyway of it. So that's why I kind of leaned on my mom for to
Yep.
be there. And like when my mom wasn't there, I'm like, man, now, you know, it's like I really had to dig deep and like just, you know, that's the time when you really like have to like think for yourself and like just be like, you know what? I'm happy with who I am. I'm proud of who I am. Like I'm not going to change. As long as, you know, you treat people right, you know, that kind of thing. It's just like, I don't know. I feel like over time, like when my mom finally did come around, I think she finally realized, like, you know what, my daughter's still the same. You know, she's always the same positive, you know, loving, outgoing person that she is. Just because she's gay, it doesn't change anything. So finally, like, I needed that. But also, before that, I was happy with, I finally came to the realization, like, I know it sounds sad, but like, you know, with parents and stuff like that, if they're not going to be there and be supportive of you and love you unconditionally, you have to find that like within your soul to like, you know, I can live with you or without you. And that was really hard for me because like, yeah, you never want to think about that. But
You
as a
don't.
person, as a human being, it's like you need to figure out like, you know, if you're not going to be there 100% for me, then, you know, I can live my life, you know, happy, the best that I can, you know, with or without family support. I know there's a lot of, I don't know if there's people watching this or people that can relate to that maybe like they feel like there's no hope or, you know, just always like, I feel like it's just find that some like positive light in your life, whether it's, you know, whatever it may be, and just like stick to that and don't lose hope. Don't give up, because there's always something at the end of the tunnel. Like I know as cliche as that sounds, but like taking that long break off, it had me think about like what's the one thing that I've always loved, that I've always passionate about, all the crap I went through in my life, and like it was like wrestling, you know, because it's just something about wrestling, it like brings people together. It like, you know, it makes you know excited to watch, you know, not just people getting beat up, but you know what I mean, like it's just, it's the good guy, bad guy kind of thing. And it's like, you know, that larger than life thing. And like I love the part that you can connect with people, like whether you love or hate them. So
That's it. It's that ability to be able to watch something and take you out of your current reality for that 60 minutes, 90 minutes, whatever it is. And at the end of the day, as much as there's chaos in wrestling, there is always a good story.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And it's an escape for people watching it, or you know, watching it in person, that all those things that we just talked about, that you don't know what people are going through in their personal life, that's just it's an escape, which, you know, it never went away.
That's why wrestling has always survived the test of time, just like,
It
movies
has.
and music. It's
Yep.
escapism. People need entertainment. That's the reason wrestling didn't go away during
You're
COVID.
right.
Like, it had a
Yeah.
reason. People needed that escape.
For sure. Yeah, I know. And COVID was just like, man, that was such a hard time. Like, and I don't know. I feel like from like 2020 to like 2022, I feel like I don't know where the time went. But
I know.
but
I
like you said,
know.
wrestling and everything else, like it just, I'm glad that it still was able to, you know, stand the test of time, because
100%.
COVID, I mean, you need that crowd, you know, having not having a crowd and stuff like that. That's tough. Like how they, those guys and girls had to go through that and
I
like still
know.
put on a show, you know.
We did it. We did it as we always do.
I know you.
Well, I'm proud of you. So keep fighting the good fight, but let's change gears entirely. Let's do my top 10 tailor-made questions. It's not a speed round. Take your time. Answer the questions. Are you ready to play? Okay, who is your favorite independent wrestler? Like the up-and-comer that people might not know about. Who is your favorite independent wrestler?
Okay, yeah. So for my promotion, there's there's an up-and-comer. His name's Shane Stetson. He's actually, my trainer's son, Chip Stetson. So he's up and coming, and I'm proud of him, like all the hard work that he's been putting in, in the ring and in the gym. So he's an up and coming talent to look out for sure.
Perfect. I love it. Thank you. Okay. What is your favorite cheat meal?
Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A.
I know, right?
Those waffle fries, girl.
Yeah. Yeah, their fries are good. Their peach milkshakes are really good, too.
Peach milkshakes? That's okay. Yeah,
during the summertime.
So if you could cultivate your perfect Chick-fil-A cheat meal, what is it exactly?
Probably the chicken nuggets and the the waffle fries and the sun joy, which is the lemonade and the sweet tea, which is good.
Okay, love it. What is your least favorite exercise in the gym?
I really don't really care for cardio, so I would say probably the treadmill, but you got to do it. So anything like the treadmill, yeah, because it can get boring.
What is your favorite apparel brand or store? Shopping. Let's talk shopping.
So, okay, I feel like stuff's coming back, but like I'm a big, Tommy Hilfiger, like 90s.
Classic.
that. I wear a lot of that. And there's other stores too, but yeah, Tommy Hilfiger is like stand the test of time.
I do like that. Okay. Do you believe in ghosts? And if so, do you have a ghost story?
I do believe in ghosts, yes, 100%. And I do have a ghost story, actually.
Yes.
When I was in Salem, Massachusetts, which, gotta give a shout out to
the motherland.
So my story was I was staying, it was at the Hawthorne Hotel, which has a lot.
I stay there.
Yeah, see? You stay there, so going in, it's like, and you have to be like on the waiting list team and like get a room booked there. So I remember I was so excited to go. And I remember something was telling me I was really freaked out about something with mirrors. Cause I feel like it's like something with mirrors. Is just like
mirrors are portals. They're portals.
It's a portal. Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously. Look who you're talking to. You don't have to tiptoe around.
there was a mirror. And I remember something was telling me as I was falling asleep. It was like a large, like, like full size mirror. And I was like, something's telling me like, don't look at the mirror. Cause I felt like something was like literally like staring into my soul that night. I don't know if it's just because I was freaked out from just being there. It was like the negative energy or something. I don't know. I was feeling it. And I just remember I got up in the middle of the night. I couldn't sleep. And I was like, I was in the bathroom. And I remember all of a sudden the lights go out, like all the power just went out. And it was only in my room. It wasn't in any of the other rooms because I still saw the light like in like the hallway area. So I like, when you're just so petrified, you're so scared, you can't even like scream. And it was one of those like, I couldn't even like get a scream out.
Paralysis.
Yeah. That was my ghost story. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Because that hotel is definitely. Everything's like has a lot of ghosts and haunted.
Oh yeah, the Hawthorne is very haunted.
It is.
Yeah, in the best possible way. It was my girlfriend. Me and my girlfriend just went last year. We stayed there, and she's like, she's a witchy friend. So nothing happened to us, but maybe everything happened to us. We just don't notice. We're just like, we're in good company. What is your favorite band or artist?
All right. Well, I can't. Let's say Spice Girls number one.
Spice Girls number one.
Besides Spice Girls, because I'm obsessed, as we know. Definitely, I will say growing up in the 90s, Veruca Salt was actually one of my favorites growing up. And that's been my theme music, my entrance song for wrestling since I started.
I actually saw that on your Wikipedia page, and I was like, we're going to be friends just based on that. Name a movie that changed your life.
I don't want to say Spice World. Spice World.
Yes, Spice World. Please tell me that's the movie that changed your life.
Yeah, positive, a positive impact. Yeah. What's your favorite movie? Sorry, I don't want to like put you on the spot.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously I'm like very cultured and I like my movies deep, so it's Wayne's World and Empire Records.
Yeah. Oh yeah, those are good picks.
Yeah. So no, I think saying Spice World was a movie.
They were like huge back then, and like just being that little girl that needed to see that positive, female empowerment back then, because I didn't have like a lot of that in my life. So like
That
that was something I looked up to, was like just being able to like see them have fun and like just be themselves, because all five of them were just like so unique and different. So like that just always stuck with
100%.
me to
I
like.
love that. That is the epitome of changing your life. You nailed it.
Exactly. Yeah. See, but I do have
Okay,
other
okay.
favorite movies. Like, there's other like for me, I love Tommy Boy because Chris Farley was my favorite growing up. So like, if there's a movie like I could name, like there's movies that we could just like say word for word. That's one of
Name a movie that changed your life, Tommy Boy.
them. Tommy Boy, that kind of little coat. That used to be my ringtone for the longest time.
Oh God, if you would have led with that, I would have just been like, the interview's
I
over.
know.
That's
Tommy Boy, that's
it.
it.
Okay, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs?
So, if you guys haven't already, check me out on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I don't think it's called Twitter anymore, but Kayla Sparks
X.
247 X, Kayla Sparks 247. I'm on YouTube as well. Yeah, just I love when you guys, if you follow me on social media, I'm interactive on Instagram and stuff, so I'll definitely like see your messages and stuff, which means a lot to me. So don't be shy to reach out.
Perfect. Okay, last one. Finish this lyric. So tell me what you want, what you really want.
Tell me what you want, what I really, really want.
I wanna, I wanna, I wanna, I wanna.
I want to really, really, really want to take a take.
Yay!
I love it. Yes.